ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय फ्रॉम द 8th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 17 एंटाइटल द लॉर्ड अग्रीज टू बिकम अदितिस सन टेक्स्ट नंबर 9 विश्वस्य विश्वाय विश्वभवन स्थिति संयमाय स्वैरं गृहीत पुरुषाक्ति गुणाय भूम्ने स्वस्थाय शश्वदुपब्रिम्हीत पूर्णबोधा व्यापादितात्मतमसे हरये नमस्ते Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My Lord, You are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer and destroyer of this universe. Although You engage Your energy in matter, You are always situated in Your original form and never fall from that position. For Your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 2.117, it is said, Siddhanta baliya chitte nakaro alas, iha hoite Krishna lage sudhrida manas. Anyone trying to become fully Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. Here, Aditi hints at these glories. The universe is nothing but the external potency of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. Whatever we see in this universe is but an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the sunshine and heat all over the universe are expansions of the sun. When one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he surpasses the influence of the illusory energy. For the Supreme Lord, being fully wise and being situated in the heart of everyone, especially in the heart of the devotee, gives one intelligence by which one is sure never to fall into illusion. So we are reading this morning from Canto 8, Chapter 17, Text number 9. Chapter entitled, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. Here we find, by following the Payovrata sacrifice, which was instructed by Kashyapa Muni to Aditi, the Lord has agreed to become the son of Aditi in the form of Vamanadev. And when the Lord appears as Vamanadev, Aditi is unable to offer prayers, but being extremely charmed by the beauty of Lord Vamanadev, she gains the intelligence to offer prayers to Lord Vamana. And beginning yesterday, we have started discussing the prayers that Mother Aditi is offering unto Lord Vamanadev. In my recent studies, I have been studying Ramayana and different aspects of Ramayana. So we'll try to discuss this episode and the purport herein from the point of view of different things that are present in Valmiki's Ramayana. Srila Prabhupada is making two very powerful points in here in the purport. One is that when one surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, he surpasses the influence of the illusory energy or Maya. The only way to get above Maya is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the second thing he says is how the Lord gives intelligence to the devotee from within the heart to be able to make the right decisions and come close to Him. So it's interesting that this episode begins with Kashyap Muni and Aditi. If one carefully observes the name Kashyapa, the name Kashyapa, when reverted or inverted, becomes Pashyaka. Ka-sha-pa and Pashyaka. And Pashyaka means one who sees. Pashya, to see. So Kashyapa Muni is not just the sage. Kashyapa is Pashyaka also. Pashyaka meaning one who can see. One who can see the presence of the Lord in every living being's heart. One who can see the presence of the Lord in every aspect of creation. One who can see the presence of the Lord in every situation of life. This is where one needs to see the Lord really. What does Pashyaka mean? To see the Lord. And seeing the Lord means seeing the Lord in these three aspects. Seeing the Lord in the heart of every living entity. Seeing the Lord in every aspect of creation. And seeing the Lord in every situation that comes in one's life. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi, then Parikshit Maharaj saw the curse of Sringi as an incarnation of the Lord, avatar of the Lord. And he says, Dvija Shapa Rupo. My dear Lord, you have taken the rupa, the form, the incarnation, in the form of this curse that came from the Dvija, the Brahmana, Sringi. So Kashyapa, very interestingly, is Pashyaka. One who can see these three things. But beyond these three things is the fourth thing that one needs to see. One needs to see the will of the Lord as one's own will. So that is the fourth aspect of being Pashyaka. Kashyapa Muni not only sees the Lord in everyone's heart, he sees the Lord in Diti's and Aditi's heart, of course. But he also sees the Lord in every aspect of the creation. He also sees the Lord in every situation that comes in his life. And he's Pashyaka because he has seen or he has learned how to see the Lord's will as his own will. Like in the Christian world, in the Bible we find, O Father, Thou art in heaven, let Thy will be done. To be able to see the Lord's will as one's own will is Pashyaka, the ability to see. So Kashyapa Muni is a very expert Pashyaka, observer, seer of the Lord in every aspect of his life. Diti means, in Sanskrit, to cut or to divide. And therefore, Diti's mentality is cut mentality, divided mentality, divide is consciousness, differentiated consciousness. Which means, Diti is not able to see the Lord's will as her own will. Although Kashyapa being Pashyaka has made the Lord's will his own will, Diti is not able to make the Lord's will her own will. And therefore, in spite of being counseled, guided, instructed, channeled by Kashyapa Muni, still she is wanting to unite with Kashyapa Muni at a wrong time. Consequently, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksharvan and the sons of Diti are called Daityas. Diti having this consciousness of not making the Lord's will one's own will, the sons are the same. Daityas also cannot make the Lord's will their own will. They want everything to be separate from the Lord. They do not want to do what the Lord wants them to do. They do not want to cooperate with the will of the Lord. They want to keep a differentiated attitude of wanting to do things their own way. Aditi obviously means uncut, undivided. If Diti means cut, divided, differentiated, then Aditi means uncut, undivided, undifferentiated. And therefore, Aditi means she whose consciousness is exactly like her husband, Kashyapa, or in other words, exactly like her guru, the spiritual master, Kashyapa Muni in this case. Right. Husband playing the role of the guru. Right. And therefore, Aditi, like Kashyapa, is also able to see in her own life
the Lord's will as her own will. Consequently, the sons that are born of Aditi are called the Adityas or the Devas. The Adityas or the Devas are the ones who have learnt how to see the Lord's will as their own will and live by the will of the Lord. Very often, Srila Prabhupada used to quote in his lectures, in his purports, in his conversations, this verse. Vishnu bhaktas smrito deva asurastat vipanyaya. Who is a deva? One who is a Vishnu bhakta. One who sees the Lord's will as his own will. Pashyaka. Who is an asura, a daitya? He who is not able to see the Lord's will as his own will. Our Sudama Prabhu many times used to make this definition, you know. You have asura and sura. You have daitya and aditya, you know. Devas and the rakshasas, same principle. And he used to say that there used to be a very famous song on television when we were children, national integration song, which would say, Mile sur mera tumhara, to sur bane hamara. You know, so he was saying once in his talk that jiska sur bhagwan ke sur ke saath milta hai wo sur, jiska sur bhagwan ke sur ke saath nahi milta wo besur nahi, asur. Right? Usually when sur doesn't match you call him a besur. Right? But jiska sur bhagwan ke sur se na mile wo asur, jiska sur bhagwan ke sur se mile wo sur. Very simple. And Prabhupada gave this definition again and again. Vishnu bhakta smrito deva asurastat vipanyayaha. So here at the very outset of the story of Kashyapa and Aditi, and Kashyapa and Diti previously in the third canto, we are learning a very important cardinal principle of how Kashyapa, Pashyaka, one who has learned to make the will of the Lord his will, has two wives, Diti and Aditi. Both having inherited the heritage of such a wonderful husband, can benefit. But one chooses to keep a differentiated consciousness. The result is daityas. The other chooses to keep the same consciousness as the husband. The result is adityas. So also, representing the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, the guru, has many disciples. Husband and wife is the same principle as the guru and the disciple. So Kashyap Muni has two wives and the guru has many disciples. And the guru is Pashyaka. He has learned how to make the will of the Lord his own will. But some of the disciples, like Aditi, will understand the mood of the spiritual master and keep the same consciousness as the spiritual master, and consequently the result is bhakti is born, adityas are born. And some of the disciples will not take the same mood of the spiritual master and keep a differentiated consciousness, not to do the will of the spiritual master, but be attracted by the balam rice and the ghee that the spiritual master offers, the facilities, and therefore consequently the result is the daityas. Bhakti can never be born in such a place. Right. Thus, this chapter begins with a very fantastic, analogy that can be driven from the very names Kashyapa, Diti and Aditi. Interestingly enough, Lord Ramchandra, his appearance in this world was in the Karkata Lagna, the cancer sign astrologically. He appeared during the Karkata Lagna on Navami, the ninth day, during the bright fortnight of the moon. And also in the month of Chaitra, when the star Punarvasu was in its full constellation. Obviously, we are thinking why we are discussing all these things. You know, Punarvasu and Chaitra and Navami and all of this stuff. But very deep significance of how the Lord appears on this particular day, in this particular tithi, and what is the significance of it? In the Vishnu Sahasranam, out of all the stars, only Punarvasu is mentioned, the star under which Lord Rama appeared. No other star is mentioned in the Vishnu Sahasranam. Only Punarvasu. It says, Brajishnur bhojanam bhokta sahishnur jagadadijaha anagho vijayojeta
విశ్వయోనిర్ పునర్వసు.
శ్రీపాద్ బల్దేవ్ విద్యాభూషణ్ ఇన్ కామెంటింగ్ ఆన్ ద విష్ణు సహస్రనామ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ పునర్వసు. పునః మీన్స్ అగైన్ అండ్ వసు కమింగ్. పునర్వసు, ద లార్డ్ కమ్స్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. సో బల్దేవ్ విద్యాభూషణ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ దట్ పునర్వసు మీన్స్ పునః వసు కమింగ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్ టు ఆఫర్ ప్రొటెక్షన్ టు ద డివోటీస్. బట్ పునర్వసు ఇస్ ఆల్సో స్టార్, అండ్ దిస్ పునర్వసు ఇస్ ది ఓన్లీ స్టార్ దట్ హెస్ గాట్ కనెక్షన్ విత్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఇన్ ద విష్ణు సహస్రనామ్. Why? Because the presiding deity of Punarvasu is Aditi, the mother of all the devas. And therefore it is explained that anyone who is born under the star Punarvasu, which is prominent, gets equal vision like Kashyapa and Aditi. Can make the will of the Lord their own will. They can see equally. They can see God everywhere like Kashyapa. Right? And thus, a lot of acharyas say that Lord Ramchandra's appearance in Chaitra under the star Punarvasu is one of the responsible factors why Lord Ram could see everyone equally. Of course, the Lord is the Lord, but as a pastime, because Punarvasu star is predominated by Aditi, who has this equal vision like her husband Kashyapa. So Lord Ram is also able to see everyone with an equal vision. Vibhishano va Sugrivo Yadiva Ravana Swayam Anayaina Harisreshtham Dattam Asyabhayam Maya Vibhishanoma Sugrivo Yadiva Ravana Swayam. You see, he's telling Hanuman, what to speak of Vibhishan? Today, anyone who comes, I'll give Abhaydan. Go get whoever you want. You want Sugriva, Vibhishana, Ravana. Even if Ravana comes today, I shall give him Abhaydan. Equal vision. The ability to see equally. And therefore, it's quite interesting that the whole Ramayana is woven in a very intricate way to give incredible, amazing lessons to us. The Ramayana is divided into 7 cantos primarily. Balakand, Ayodhya Kand, Aranya Kand, Kishkinda Kand, Sundara Kand, Yuddha Kand, and Uttarakhand, all these cantos. Balakand, you know, Balakand means the canto where we will expect that childhood pastimes of Lord Ram are described. Balakand. Ayodhya Kand is clear. Lord Ram is in Ayodhya, is being cursed to go exiled in the forest. Aranya Kand is clear, is moving in the Aranyas, the forest, isn't it? Kishkinda Kand is very clear. Kishkinda Sugriv is meeting with Lord Ram. Sundara Kand, this Kand, the canto where the glory of the Sundar Lord Ramchandra is explained. Yuddha Kand, where there is Yuddha between Ram and Ravan. And Uttar Kand, Ram becomes the king and Lava Kush and all of that stories. 5 of these cantos are rightly named. 2 of these cantos, the name don't suit them. Balakand. There is no childhood pastime of Lord Ram in the Balakand. There is practically no description of Lord Ram's childhood activities in the Ramayana, except for killing some Subahu, Marija, Tataka. The whole canto is called Balakand, whereas Lord Ramchandra does not show his childhood pastimes there at all, practically speaking. Hardly anything about of his childhood is mentioned there. In the Bhagavatam, if we say 10th canto, childhood pastimes of Krishna, fine. Krishna's pranky pastimes, you know, stealing butter, and, you know, playing and mischief, you know, pulling the tails of the calves, fine. Ramchandra, no mischief at all. Too submissive. Too submissive a child. Any parent would want to have a child like that. Too submissive a child, Lord Ram. There is nothing to mention there in the Balakand. No pranky pastimes. There is no prank even once. Can you imagine? The whole Ramayana, Lord Ram doesn't play pranks at all. Very submissive, very grave personality. And yet the whole canto is called Balakand. Who is the Bal in the Balakand? Is it Lord Ramchandra? Is it Lord Ram who is the child in this canto? He is not. Because no explanation of his childhood activities are given in the Balakand. Who is the Baal in the Balakand? Great mystery to be revealed, and I'm sure everyone is now wanting to know. Who is the Baal in the Balakand? It's a great mystery, you see. Lord Ram, as a child, growing up, and Vishwamitra Muni comes one day to the palace of Dasharatha Maharaj and requests Dasharatha Maharaj, you kindly give your son Ram to me. There are Subahu, Maricha and all of these demons who are creating havoc in the forest. They are spoiling the fire sacrifice and the yajnas of practically all the sages who are performing these. You kindly give your child. Dasharatha is struck with grief. He cannot handle the fact that this child, whose each of his limbs are formed like delicate lotus petals, he's not even trained in the art of warfare. He should be taken for a task like this. Nothing in the world can make Dasharatha grief-stricken as the idea that he has to part with his delicate, freshly formed Lord Ramchandra. He tries to argue, debate, reason, and still Vishwamitra doesn't listen. Finally, after a lot of discussion, Vishwamitra convinces Dasharatha, and Dasharatha parts away with Ram with tears in his eyes. Vishwamitra Muni takes Lord Ramchandra to the forest and trains him, you know, in the art of warfare. And then he kills Tataka, Subahu and Maricha, of course. It's quite interesting. Vishwamitra Muni, by the study of scriptures and austerity, has achieved manavatva, being a human being. One can never become a manav or a human being till the time one learns spiritual knowledge, Brahma Vidya, and applies it in his life. There is no question of human life. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho dharme nahina pashu bhi samanam. Dharma is that extra thing, that special thing that makes a person a human being, a manava. And therefore, Vishwamitra Muni has been given the title of Brahma Rishi by Brahma himself. He has studied all the literatures, knows each and every single Vedic literature thoroughly, has performed such extreme degree of austerity, penance and control of the senses that Brahma himself had to come and say, when he said Raja Rishi, he said, no Raja Rishi, more austerity. He said, you are a Brahma Rishi. He's known to be a person who knows Brahma Vidya thoroughly in and out. He knows every single syllable of all the Vedic literatures. And all he has achieved by that knowledge is manavatva. Knowledge can only make a person a human being. Knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth can only make a person a human being. Beyond manavatva is paratva. To cultivate one's divinity within, to cultivate one's Krishna consciousness, to make one's connection with Krishna, and knowledge cannot help us do that. Knowledge is only the preliminary aspect to be able to reach that, but knowledge can never make one self-realized. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Self-realization can never be acquired by pravachanena, profound explanations of philosophy and knowledge. No. Manavatva can be achieved by philosophy and knowledge. Paratva, one's spiritual exaltation, can never be achieved by knowledge, Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. That needs grace. That needs mercy. That needs the Supreme Lord to pull us out of the material mire. Max what we can reach based on our own efforts is knowledge and become a manava, a human being. Vishwamitra has become a manava. He has reached that state of being a perfect human being for that matter, with no mistake in his achar, vichar or prachar. With no mistake in his behavior, in his thinking or in his speaking. That is manavatva. Achar, vichar, prachar, all coherent with each other. What one is thinking, one is speaking, and is also doing. That's a perfect human being. By the dint of his knowledge, he could do that. But beyond being just a perfect human being, he couldn't be a perfect servant of the Lord, a perfect devotee of the Lord, which is called paratva. That paratva comes only by grace. And therefore, Vishwamitra Muni has come here seeking the help of Dasharatha. Please give your child Ram to me. When he's asking for the child, he's saying, you are thinking he's your child, but he is the Supreme Lord. Do you think I can't kill Tataka? Do you think I can't kill Subahu? Do you think I can't kill Maricha? I was a Kshatriya, Dasharatha. I've been a Kshatriya before. And I've won many wars and killed many Asuras and many Rakshasas and many warriors. What's the big deal in killing these three Rakshasas? No big deal. And I'm no longer just a Kshatriya. I was given the title of Rajarshi by Brahma. Rajarshi is the best among the Kshatriyas, a sage among the Kshatriyas. Do you think based on my power I can't deal with these three demons? And not just a Rajarshi, I've also been given the title of a Brahma Rishi. I have the title of a Brahma Rishi like Vashishta, who was previously my enemy. Previously, I had seen him with the drishti of Amitra, not a friend, and my name is supposed to be Vishwamitra. But after having come in contact with Brahma Vidya and having been a Brahma Rishi, now I see the world as my friend, Brahma, Vishwa, Mitra, including Vasishtha Muni. Right. And therefore, you think, based on my Brahma Rishi powers, I can't kill these three Asuras? Come on, Dasharatha. I can kill them all easily. It's no big deal. But I've taken a vow that while performing sacrifices, I won't do that as a Brahma Rishi. That's external. Tataka is avidya. Ignorance of one's own self and one's connection with God. Subahu represents Sanchita Karma. Karma that is accumulated from millions of lifetimes. And Maricha represents Agami Karma. The seeds of karma that are there will fructify in the future. And therefore Tataka, which is Avidya, Subahu, which is Sanchita Karma, and Maricha, which is Agami Karma, cannot be destroyed by me. I can kill Subahu, I can kill Maricha, I can kill Tataka. But what that represents for me, avidya, sanchita karma and agami karma, I am helpless. Helpless like a child. Bala. Now you know who is the Bala in the Balakand. It's not Lord Ram. It's not Lord Ram after whom this canto is named Balakand. It is after Vishwamitra that this canto is called Balakand. Because in a helpless mood of a child, he comes to Dasharatha Maharaj to seek shelter of Lord Ramchandra. Therefore, the first is, one achieves manavatva by Brahma Vidya. Paratva is to achieve the grace of the Lord who kills Tataka, Subahu and Maricha. Who destroys the ignorance within, the Sanchita Karma, the Agami Karma. And only then one can be dragged up to the stage of Paratva. Where one can have a straight connection with the Supreme Lord. When one can revive one's full relationship with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. With the Supreme Lord Sri Ramachandra. Right? And therefore, the third quality is amayakatva. Manavatva, paratva and amayakatva. Amayakatva means innocence. Innocence of a child. Completely dependence of the Lord. Paratantrya. My dear Lord, I can at best know a few things from the scripture. That is knowledge. I can become a human being by not doing wrong and doing right. I can reach perfection of being a human being by cultivating virtuous quality as a human. But that's where it ends. I can't deal with ignorance, avidya in my heart. I can't deal with my sanchit karma and my agami karma. For that I need you, my dear Lord. And therefore, I beg of you, you kindly come and kill these demons. So Vishwamitra has come there to Ayodhya apparently as a guru to train Ram to kill, in reality as a child, as a disciple. And therefore the first canto of the Ramayana is called Balakand, which explains how to deal with this illusory energy in the form of these forces of avidya and karma, one has to take shelter of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada's mentioning in the purport today, that only when one surrenders unto the Supreme Lord can the influence of the illusory energy be taken care of. Mame vaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. And Vishwamitra Muni comes for that prapadyante in the mood of a child. And Srila Prabhupada again and again said that one has to chant Hare Krishna in the mood of a child, bala, crying out for the Supreme Lord's mercy. Because that beyond a certain level, it's all helpless. We can do it for a long time, and beyond a certain level, it's all helpless. There, one has to come in the mood of a child, calling out for the grace of the Lord, who can pick us up and give us shelter. Srila Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk, famous story, and there was a crab walking on the shores, and Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu, go Brahmananda, go catch. And Brahmananda Prabhu, huge, hefty, running after the crab, you know, panting for breath, sweating, and still running, but not able to catch the crab. And then the crab finally went into the waters, and Brahmananda Prabhu came helpless, and Srila Prabhupada started laughing. Such a huge Brahmananda, he could not catch a tiny crab. And then Prabhupada turned to all the devotees and said, why? Because the crab has learned how to take shelter of the water. What can this mighty, hefty Brahmananda do? The crab is so small. This big Brahmananda cannot do anything to the crab, Prabhupada said. Why? Because the crab has taken shelter of the waters. And so also, when in the mood of Vishwamitra, Bala, one takes shelter of the holy name, the spiritual master and the Lord, then we may be tiny, 1/10 the tip of a hair, but the Lord is mighty. Almighty, not just mighty. And when the Lord gives us tiny souls shelter in His oceanic mercy, then the huge, hefty, Herculean Maya, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya, cannot practically do anything. And recently, we were discussing in one of our programs that when Sugriva and Lord Ramchandra make ties, allies with each other, friends with each other, Lord Ram told Sugriva, you go and challenge Bali. So Sugriva came to challenge Bali. And he had such confidence in his sound voice, yelling, shouting, calling abusive words to Bali. Hey, come on, come out. Why are you hiding like this, enjoying sense gratification in your den? Come out. Shouting, literally. And Bali's wife, she said, don't go. There is too much confidence in his voice. You know what a skinny weakling your brother is. You know how effortlessly you defeated him and drove him out. You know, the very fact that he comes and challenges you with such tremendous amount of confidence in his voice, there is someone very powerful behind him. Unless there is someone behind, very powerful behind him, he cannot speak like this. Bali told his wife, who do you think I am? He was so proud. He said, I'll take care. He went. And then of course there was a fight and Lord Ram didn't kill, and that's a whole big story. And finally then Bali was killed and all of that. Later Lord Ram killed Bali. But the lesson is very powerful. Our mind, our problems and our bad habits are like Bali. Very big. The mind is so big, so Herculean. We are 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, soul, Sugriva, skinny, weakling, little particle, spiritual particle, but identifying with the body, we have practically forgotten who we are, become a skinny weakling, you know. And therefore, to deal with this mighty mind is like dealing with the mighty Bali. Or our problems in life. Many times, karmically, so many huge issues come in life, which become practically beyond our ability to deal with. Bali. Big Bali to conquer. And bad habits, conditionings, coming from many, many lifetimes, deeply rooted within our core systems. Very difficult to fight them. And therefore, Sugriva cannot. So Sugriva is run away. So we don't want to confront the problems. We don't want to confront our mind. We don't want to confront our habits. Why? Because we are weak. We cannot deal with them. But when Sugriva has Ram behind him, then what is it? For the Lord to deal with all of these things is nothing. It's peanuts for him. And therefore, when the Lord comes behind Sugriva, Sugriva gets too much confidence. And he challenges someone whom he never had the guts to utter the name of. So also, when we have the Lord, the spiritual master, the acharyas, and Vaishnavas with us, this force, this strength gives us the confidence to challenge things that were way beyond our capacity to deal with before we came to Krishna consciousness. You see? And therefore, this principle of Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite, when one takes shelter of the Lord, the spiritual master, and the devotees, then no problem is a problem. No habit is a bad habit. No mind is a big mind. Everything can be dealt with good struggle, when the power and the grace is with us. And therefore, Ram's appearing on Navami is also very significant. Right? Mathematically, it is explained that Lord Ram's appearing on Ram Navami is also extremely significant. What is the significance of Ram's appearing on Navami? The material body is made out of 8 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And the 9th element that comes into the body to animate the body is the spirit soul. Right? The Parashakti. Aparayamitastvannam prakritim vidhime param. The Parashakti. The soul. The spiritual potency. Atma. 9th element. And the acharyas have explained that Lord Ram's coming on the Navami is that 9 elements are already there, the 8 material elements and the 9th Parashakti is already there. Now let me come in your life. Life is already existing with the material body made of the 8 elements and the 9th element, the soul within. 9 elements are already there. The Lord is saying, let me enter your life now. 9 already existing. Let me enter in your life as the 10th element. And as soon as the Lord is added, the total becomes 10. The figure comes to 10. And the acharyas have explained what does that figure stand for. We have always thought we are the one, we are the one. But as soon as we have the figure 10, then we have a 1 and a 0. And that 1 is the Supreme Lord. And the 0 stands for, my dear Lord, I want to humble myself. I am nothing. You are the hero. I am the zero. Right? That is what it really means. You are the hero and I am the zero. I am nothing in front of you. I am a bala. I am simply a child in front of you. I am not even, I am a useless child who knows nothing, my dear Lord. So here I am. With my ability and effort, I could come to a certain level. Beyond that, zero, my dear Lord. And therefore, Ram Navami signifies the Lord's coming in our life and our humbling in front of the Lord, that my dear Lord, we are nothing. Please help us to come to the level of spiritual exaltation by your divine mercy. So very significant, this point that Srila Prabhupada is making in the purport, that the illusory energy is beyond us to deal with. But when we take shelter of the Lord in a humble spirit, then the Lord will help us deal with this massive illusory energy. Things that are beyond us become possible by the grace of the Lord, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Lord gives intelligence from within to come closer to him. And therefore, Hanumanji's crossing the ocean and coming to Lanka reveals Hanumanji's 5 qualities. Very powerful 5 qualities. First quality of jnana or knowledge of oneself. Second quality of dhyana or focus. Third quality of dhriti or courage. Fourth quality of drishti or farsightedness. Fifth of mati or intelligence. And sixth of daksha or expertise. I'm sorry, it's 6. First is knowledge. Hanuman had forgotten who he was. Jambavan had to remind him who he was. Similarly, in our journey across the material ocean, we have forgotten who we are, and Guru, Acharya, through his words, reminds us who we are. Second, dhyana or focus is needed. In order to cross the ocean, one has to be focused. Hanumanji jumps onto Mount Mahendra after having heard his glories, who he is. He pushes his hind legs back winds up his tail and just a little bit, slouches a little bit, bends down a little bit in his waist, puts both of his hands in front to take his spiritual flight. And according to the Yoga Sutras, this posture, this yoga posture is the posture of full concentration needed to take off. Maximum concentration and focus can be had when one has this particular yogic posture in order to take off. And therefore it is explained that to take off on the spiritual journey, one needs focus, concentration, not asana, but internal focus. Third is dhriti or courage. One cannot take up the journey across an ocean which is 100 yojans unless one is courageous. And therefore to take to Krishna consciousness requires guts, requires courage. Because one cannot see what is coming in the future. You know, one cannot see whether Krishna is there or not. Every other thing, it doesn't need much courage to go and take admission in a college to study. What's the big deal? We know 4 years down the line, degree will come. It doesn't need much courage to go and work in a company. One knows after the month, salary will come. But it takes a lot of courage to take to Krishna consciousness because one doesn't know in the future whether I'll gain Krishna or not. That is dhriti. Hanuman doesn't know. Sampati has told Sita is there, but if I jump and I don't get Sita, then what? No, I'll take the courage to go. Dhriti. Next is drishti, farsightedness. Mainaka comes and presents facilities, but he doesn't. His long-term goal is fixed. He's farsighted. To accomplish that goal, he's not going to compromise and, you know, rest there. A person who's farsighted never gets distracted by the temporary distractions that come, like Mainak, drishti. And then mati, or intelligence, that Prabhupada is talking of here. In dealing with the demon is sursa, it requires intelligence, mati. Tactfulness is the word used. Hanumanji is very tactful. She opens her mouth 10 yojan, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Her mouth is 100 yojan. Hanumanji tactfully becomes only thumb size, goes in and comes out, and she blesses. Okay, don't worry, you will be able to find Sita. Go, you know. And it is explained in the Valmiki's Ramayana. Dhriti, drishti, matir daksham. This mati is tactfulness or intelligence. And intelligence is of two kinds. One intelligence comes by good karma. That intelligence is very good in cramming things, analyzing things, grabbing knowledge of matter. Very good. And therefore sometimes people's lifestyles are horrible. They don't follow any principles in life, immoral lifestyle, but karmic intelligence is very powerful. So you find students who have an absolute immoral lifestyle, but still very sharp in their academics. That's karmic intelligence. But mati is not karmic intelligence. Mati is dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. That tactfulness, that intelligence is given by the Supreme Lord from within the heart. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. And Srila Prabhupada in that purport explains that sometimes there might be a person who might come to a spiritual organization, may even have a spiritual master, but if he just doesn't understand anything due to lack of that intelligence, materially speaking, karmically, Krishna gives that intelligence from within. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. And therefore, Hanumanji, because he's on a mission to serve Lord Ram, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, wanting to serve the Lord Ram with great love and affection, devotion. Therefore, dadami buddhi yogam tam. The Lord is giving the intelligence from within by which he can accomplish everything in the mission of Lord Ramchandra. And therefore, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, if we learn how to simply serve Krishna as he taught and as his followers are teaching, then the required intelligence is given in making right decisions and in ability to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada properly. His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhav Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple, Germany, born in Germany. He didn't know a word of English. And Prabhupada told him he should translate books in English, in German, from English to German. And that had to be translated to him, that Prabhupada is telling like that. He didn't know English. But he took a dictionary, German-English dictionary. And simply to serve Srila Prabhupada's order out of his love for Srila Prabhupada, Priti Purvakam, saw German to English, word by word, without going for an English course. He learned the English language
and translated Prabhupada's books in English. That is Mati. Intelligence that is given by Krishna, Guru and their grace, by which impossible feats and tasks can be accomplished in service for the mission. Like Hanumanji here is exhibiting this quality of Mati. And last of course is Daksha, expertise and skill with which he kills Simhika and then goes on in his journey. So to achieve success in one's spiritual journey, one needs these six qualities of Jnana, which one gets from the spiritual master. From that Jnana, Dhyana or focus, concentration on one's path, then Dhriti, courage, Drishti, farsightedness, Mati, intelligence given by the Lord, and Daksham, or expertise by which one can reach one's goal. So these two wonderful points, Srila Prabhupada is commenting in this purport, that anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can deal with the illusory energy, and the Lord gives the required intelligence by which a devotee can accomplish a service and come back to him. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.